pulled out my phone. Me. We're not breaking. You said you wouldn't let us, and I'm saying it now. You're mine, Ari Lancaster. You better not get on that fucking plane. And then there was a shift in the air, and I knew without even seeing him. My breath hitched, and I lift my gaze from my phone to the end of the driveway. And there stood Ari, a windswept constellation I was desperate to see. I wiped at my tears, knowing I looked a mess as he walked towards me. No makeup, baggy sweats, wet hair in a bun.
You're perfect.
He murmured as if he could read my mind. You're here. I sniffed, and his steps quickened. Before he could take another step, though, I was running, and he was scooping me up in his arms. I was breathing him in, my tears all over him, peppering his face with kisses because I was so fucking relieved. My legs were wrapped around him, his hands on my ass and my arms around his neck. I was touching him. He was here. He hadn't gotten on the plane.
Hi.
He finally breathed, and I giggled, staring into his green eyes that I realized I never would have seen in anyone else, because no one else is compared. You didn't leave, I whispered.
Nope.
You blocked my ex.
I did.
He said with absolutely no remorse in his voice. You planted drugs in his car to get rid of him.
Yep.
You got him on the no-fly list.
Mm-hmm. And I'd do it again.
You're crazy about me, aren't you, Ari Lancaster? He grinned, and the butterflies inside me, the ones that look like his tattoo, they went wild.
Fucking insane for you, sunshine.
I was smiling crazily, but I didn't care, because I hadn't known the human soul could feel this much relief and happiness at once, and I was going to revel in it. Good, because I figured out I'm crazy for you too.
It's about time, baby.
He murmured, stalking towards the house.
But I would have waited forever.
I continued to smile dreamily at him as he opened the front door and stepped inside.
But thank fuck I didn't have to.
Chapter 26. Blake. We stood in the front foyer, still staring at each other with silly, insane grins. And then it was like a storm broke. Ari's lips crashed against mine, his hand cradling my face, staring at me soulfully like I was his biggest dream come true. I didn't feel like I deserved it after I had tried to break us, but I wasn't going to point that out. He was giving me another chance. I'd spend the rest of my life showing him that wasn't a mistake. Ari pulled back and I tried to chase his lips, but he held my head in place.
No more pushing me away, because I can't take it. I need you. I've been dying without you.
I opened my mouth to say yes, but he placed a finger on my lips.
I need you to really think about it before you agree. Because after this, you're never going to get another chance. I will not let you go. No matter what. No matter what happens. You will be mine, and I will be yours. And that will be the end of our story.
He continued to hold me with one arm while he reached into his pocket.
I think this belongs to you.
He murmured, holding it up for me to look at. It does. I responded, no hesitation. Not anymore. And his face was giddy as he slipped it on my finger. It felt like it belonged there now. It felt, well, perfect. I stared up at him, and for the first time in weeks, there was no doubt. It was like it had washed away, disappeared like the lipstick stains down the drain. And somehow I knew it was never going to come back. He was it for me. Maybe he could be a hero and a villain at the same time, just like I could be. And maybe it was what worked for us. Maybe it was the only thing that would work when you had someone with so much still to work through like I did. But at least now I was finally working through it. I never want you to let me go. I told him, staring into those grass-green eyes and seeing my whole future in their depths. I kept telling you I couldn't find anything wrong with you, even as I fell apart over and over. And you were there for me, I whispered. And then when I found out everything, I immediately wasn't there for you. And it's taken me all this time to realize there's still nothing wrong with you. I think you're perfect just as you are, Ari Lancaster. Perfect for me. He closed his eyes, exquisite pain passing over his features. I knew what he was feeling. It hurt how much we loved each other. Your soul wasn't supposed to exist in another person, yet here we were. Ari had captured mine, and I finally had gotten to a place where I could truly let him have it without any reservations. Ari lifted me up and my legs wrapped around him. After so many weeks, it felt like I had come home, like I was finally where I belonged. I could picture our souls intertwining, finally breathing again after so long. "I'm crazy for you," I whispered, brushing my lips against his as he walked towards our bedroom.
"Right back at you, sunshine."
He laid me down on the bed, his fingers pushing into my leggings and panties and immediately gliding through my sensitive flesh. I whimpered because I'd been so empty without him. We'd been having sex multiple times a day before everything had happened, and living without his particular bit of enlightenment, that in itself had been misery. Ari rubbed against my clit, pressing soft kisses on my lips and my cheeks and my neck until I was melting into the bed, everything inside me wanting him with everything I had.
"I've been dying without this,"
he whispered as he ripped off my clothes frantically, until I was laying there, completely bare to his still fully clothed form.
"Fucking hell,"
he muttered as his eyes danced across my skin.
"Can't get over how perfect you are. Can't believe I lived without this for weeks."
His fingers slid through my folds, tracing down my seam until he was circling my asshole, the tip of his fingers sliding in. I knew what I wanted then. I wanted to give him the one part of my body that no one else ever had. "Take me there," I whispered, watching his understanding lit up his gaze. He did a sharp inhale and his gaze went wide.
"You want me to?"
I nodded and then moaned as his finger pressed in further. "Yes, I want you to fuck my ass. Have every part of me, always."
"Fucking hell, sunshine. You don't have to ask me twice,"
he growled. Ari abruptly flipped me over so I was on my hands and knees on the bed. My legs were shaking as his palm glided up my back before coming back down and massaging my cheeks with both hands.
"Drop down, baby,"
he murmured as his thumb spread my cheeks wide. I lay there with my face on the soft sheets, my breaths coming out in short gasps. Suddenly, he groaned and slapped my ass before gently massaging the spot that burned. The flat of his tongue licked through my folds, hot and wet, before sliding up to my ass and teasing the hole.
"You're going to fucking kill me, sunshine. Look at how sexy you are,"
he growled as he moved away. A second later, I heard the soft click of a bottle opening before his lubed finger returned to my hole, pushing inside and rubbing around. His tongue returned to my core, sliding in and out as his finger stretched my puckered flesh. He continued to work my clit, and my body stayed relaxed even as he pushed another finger into my hole. It was an entirely different sensation than when he fucked my vagina. The sensations were 10 times more intense. My hips were arching back against his fingers before he abruptly pulled them out. Warm, wet lube dripped down my crack, and he dragged his fingers through it, spreading it around.
"What a fucking good girl,"
he growled as he worked on stretching my tight ring of muscles. The sensations he was giving me were driving me insane, and I was crying out with every pass. I glanced back, my eyes widening as I watched him spread the oil all over his cock. I wanted to watch him jerk off one day. The hotness of it might make me pass out. Ari slid his dick through my crack, and I shuddered, anticipating what was about to happen. I felt his thick head pressing against my opening, and then pushed. You can't really imagine what it's going to feel like to have a huge, pierced cock in your ass, but it was incredible. I buried my face into the mattress, arching my hips back against him as he worked himself deeper, little by little, as he gave me time to adjust.
"Look at you. You're taking my cock so good. What a perfect fucking ass. Take a little bit more, sunshine. Just a little more,"
he pleaded before he slid all the way in. A yelp burst out of me and he rubbed my spine, soothing away my nervous energy. I thought I felt filled to the brim when his dick was in my other hole, but having it inside me like this, I couldn't think. I could barely breathe. Fuck. All I could do was feel. There was a reason that I'd never been able to do this with anyone else. The intimacy of it was completely overpowering. Having him deep inside of me was the most intense thing I'd ever experienced. He truly owned me.
Tell me you're mine.
He ordered as he fucked me gently, his long strokes slowly speeding up as I thrust my hips back against him. One arm went around my throat and he was lifting me back until my body was arched, my head cushioned against his shoulder as I stared up at him. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I chanted as his other hand moved from my hip to my clit and he played with it, gently circling and rubbing.
Tell me you'll never leave me.
He ordered as his thrust sped up. Never. I promise. I gasped.
Good girl.
He purred as his fingers dipped into my core, fucking me with the same rhythm as the push and pull of his dick in my ass. My vision was blurry, and I realized it was because there were tears streaming down my face, the euphoria of everything breaking me open. I felt closer to him in that moment than I'd ever thought possible. And what was building inside of me was a stronger sensation than I'd ever experienced, like lightning running through my veins.
Fuck. Your ass is choking me.
He said through gritted teeth as he rutted into me.
Come for me, sunshine. Give me what I want, because I'm so close, and I'm not coming without you.
He fucked into me harder, and that little extra bite of pain sent me soaring, the edges of my vision darkening until there was just a pinprick of light visible as every single nerve ending in my body exploded with pleasure.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Were the last things I heard as the world faded around me. I didn't realize I'd passed out until I woke up lying next to him under the cool sheets. He was propped up on one arm, his gaze grazing my skin, his finger trailing down my side. I moaned and moved, realizing how achy I felt, which was expected when you let a 9-inch rod up your ass. How long have I been out? I murmured dreamily, stretching languidly. It had been so long since I'd felt any peace. And that was all I felt right then, that an overwhelming, starry-eyed, obsessed love.
30 minutes or so,
he said.
Just enough for me to clean the both of us up.
I nodded, not feeling concerned about it at all. Everything inside of me knew that I was safe with him. Plus, we were already married, so there wasn't much else he could do to surprise me.
I'm fucking exhausted,
he admitted.
But I'm scared to close my eyes. I'm scared this is all going to be a dream, and I'm going to wake up with you still hating me.
I'm sorry, I whispered, because even after everything he had done, I had so much to apologize for, too. I couldn't love you like you deserved when I hated myself so much, I admitted, and it was the truth. Hating yourself was hard work. It was hard to find room for anything else.
And how's that going?
He murmured, his finger moving to my cheek as he softly brushed against my skin. It's a work in progress. Maybe it'll always be a work in progress. Maybe I'll always have some sort of sadness or self-loathing trying to suck me in. It's just, I'm not going to let it anymore. I deserve better than that. You deserve better than that.
I stand by my opinion that I've always thought you were perfect, no matter what.
He seemed fascinated by the answering tear that slid down my cheek. And I love you for that, but I'm ready to see what we can be like without me constantly getting in the way.
I'm here for you no matter what. But I want you to know that I've fallen in love with every part of you. There's nothing you could do or say or be that I wouldn't still want.
Was it possible to die from happiness? Because when he said those sorts of things, he meant them. He really saw something inside me that I never could. He really was my soulmate. Just then, my stomach growled, and he snorted before sitting up. My gaze got caught on those incredible abs of his, and I worked on controlling my drool. That was my husband. Crap. That was the first time I'd really said that in my head. I'd been too scared of it. The feeling was great. Better than great. Magical. Ari Lancaster was mine in every way possible, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. It was like I had stumbled upon my own personal miracle. Mrs. Lancaster. I also liked the sound of that.
What's in that pretty head of yours, baby?
Ari said as he slid off the bed. I was about to answer, but something gold caught my eye. On his dick. What the? I leaned forward, sure my eyes were playing tricks. Was that a ring attached to the tip of his cock? And not just a ring. The smooth gold of it really resembled a...
Like my wedding ring?
He said proudly, swinging his dick around like a fucking helicopter.
Got it on our wedding night. Seemed fitting, don't you think?
He thrusted his hips forward so I could get a better look. You have a wedding ring pierced through the tip of your cock. I said slowly, because really, it wasn't something you saw every day, or ever actually.
Yep. Now I've always got my ring with me. And judging by the way you were just screaming as I fucked your perfect little asshole, it feels good too. I got the pleasure for her ring, so I'll have to leave a good review.
I didn't know whether I wanted to laugh or jump him. Something about it was weirdly hot, even when he swung it around like an elephant's trunk. Still fascinated and utterly bemused by what he'd done, I reached out and brushed my fingers across the smooth tip. He groaned and thrust into my hand.
Fuck, baby. I need to feed you. And we aren't going anywhere if you keep staring and touching my dick like it's the fucking Holy Grail.
I leaned forward and dragged my tongue along the pierced shaft. I think I've decided that I'm hungry for something else. I purred as I licked into his pierced slit. I want to see if that ring feels good down my throat. His whole body shivered and a smooth, sly grin crossed his beautiful lips.
I have a better idea, Sunshine. I think we should both eat.
He flopped on the bed and within seconds had me straddling his face as his tongue fucked into me. Well then, I thought, staring down at the pierced masterpiece in front of me, the gold of the wedding ring glinting in the sun streaming in from the window. Time to feast.
Ari. She'd fallen asleep with me still inside her, and somehow she was still sleeping, even though I was fully hard, again. There was a blissed-out expression on her face as I obsessively stared at her, though, like she only felt complete like this, too. I was in heaven. This was how I always wanted it to be. Us. Together. Connected. Forever. From the moment I'd laid eyes on Blake as a young boy, I'd known she was it. There was an unexplainable pull, an undeniable force that drew me to her. She was my very own kryptonite, and once I'd made that decision that I couldn't live without her, I'd also made her the only person that could actually destroy me. I couldn't live without her. And once I had that firmly established in my personal values, every step after that had been not only necessary, but the only step I could take. I would have never let her go. Leaving the Cobras mid-season? Yeah, that was never going to happen. When I made a commitment, I went all in. Letting her divorce me? Also, never going to happen. But I needed a come-to-Jesus moment where Blake realized she was just as in this as I was. That she couldn't let go either. And that had required a little push. So I'd hired an actress to pose as a divorce attorney, and I'd had a friend put together fake papers that had no legal validity. She could have signed those fucking things a million times, and she still would have been married to me. If she had, for some reason, requested to take them to the courthouse herself, I had a plant in there, too, that would have pretended it was all real. There'd been a million contingencies I'd had set up, but they all had one end goal: to get her back. To help her see that we were necessary to each other's existence. I'd been waiting at a coffee shop around the corner until she'd left for her shoot. I'd followed her there, making sure she was all right, dying when she fell and I couldn't help her up. I'd followed her home, watching her on the house security cameras I'd installed for the rest of the day. Watching as she'd destroyed her scale and actually eaten. I was sure there was more that happened in the bathroom that I couldn't see. But for once, it felt like maybe they were all good things. Watching her with a fake lawyer. Torture. Even knowing it was fake, I'd had all the emotions watching the feed. Offering her money had even been a part of the plan because I'd realized one of her hang-ups was all the money the Shepfields had, or pretended to have, and the way they'd shoved it down her throat, forcing her to be someone she wasn't. I'd known she would say no, even though I would literally give her all my earthly possessions to make her happy. I saw when it finally clicked, when she realized that she couldn't live without me either. She had raced to her car, but of course I'd snuck in and removed one of its gaskets after her chute, so she couldn't go anywhere. Link's idea, strangely enough. Using the app I had reinstalled on her phone, I saw when she ordered an Uber. I'd logged into the account and canceled her ride so it didn't get there before I did. I'd had a plan for everything. It may have sounded extreme, but I knew my girl. I knew she had to really feel it. She had to feel how much our relationship meant to her. She had to really let go of all the shit that had been holding her back and come to the decision that she was all in, no matter what. I was still struggling to believe she was really here, though, that I was inside of her, my cock snuggled in her perfect warmth. I'd had moments of doubt, wondering if I really would have to kidnap her away to make her see reason. Thank fuck it hadn't come to that. I definitely would have done it. Link had sent me the site for the cuffs.
Ari?
She murmured dreamily, and I brushed a kiss against her lips because, why not? She was perfection. I couldn't help but start to move, the ring making my tip so sensitive I could orgasm almost instantly if I let myself. She stirred again, and I really wanted to see those gorgeous eyes of hers, even if she could use some more sleep. Baby, let me fuck you, I purred, and her eyes slowly blinked open as I lazily thrust in and out of her. I'd never get enough. I knew that.
Feels so good,
she whispered as I rolled my body, expertly keeping us connected, because I was an awesome sex god, until I was laying on my back and she was staring down at me. Her hair was kissing the skin on my chest as she bounced on top of me. I watched, fascinated, as my cock stretched her pink, wet pussy, sucking me in, swallowing every inch as I thrust into her, unable to stop myself from taking over. Touch yourself, sunshine, I murmured, groaning as she obediently slid her hands across her dusty pink nipples, tugging on them as she stared down at me like my darkest fantasy come to life. I played with her clit while she played with her glorious breasts, and I was so close to coming it physically hurt. Please come for me, sweetheart, I begged as she fucked herself faster on my shaft, withdrawing all the way to the tip before slamming back down. It was so fucking good. Her breasts were bouncing up and down. The feel of her was outrageous. I was more convinced than ever that she was made just for me. I was on the edge of dying when she started to come, a rosy blush spreading across her skin, soft gasps falling from her lush mouth. Fuck. I pulled myself out of her, flipping her to her back as I fucked my hand. In just a second, I was coming, my cum coating her smooth skin. I stared at it for a second, admiring it as I took a mental picture, before I spread it all over her stomach and her breasts, softly licking at her nipple before I spread more cum on her chest. There. All better. I decided right then and there to coat her in my cum every day. I couldn't stitch us together, so this seemed like a good alternative.
Ari, I love you,
she whispered, another tear slipping down her skin. I licked it up, wanting every part of her I could get. The way she said it was different now, like she'd finally found her peace with it. The fact that she'd found her soulmate at 10, and that I'd made sure we were reunited. I'd do anything to keep us together forever. I love you so much it hurts, I told her, and it was the truth. Our love was a living, breathing, painful thing. Because having someone else own your soul was always going to be a painful, beautiful experience. One I wouldn't trade for anything. One I would fight for with my very last breath. And finally, I knew Blake was going to fight for it too. Chapter 27, Ari, months later. Tonight was the night. The game that would decide if we made the playoffs. Or at least partially decide. Thanks to some late season losses, we weren't entirely in charge of our destiny. We had to beat Seattle, but Dallas also had to beat Detroit for us to get in. Dallas, unfortunately, would be playing at the same time as us, so we wouldn't know the outcome of their game until ours was done. I wasn't as worried about that second part, though. Link had already promised he'd do whatever it took to get Dallas the win, and my golden nugget of a best friend never let me down. The bigger concern was that we had to win. A tougher hurdle for sure. Tommy had strained his quad muscle last game and wasn't at 100%. Another of our defensemen, Caffrey, had the flu this week, and Soto, well, Soto just sucked. I wanted to help my boys to the playoffs. We wouldn't be winning the cup. We weren't good enough. But I wanted the playoffs at least. No matter what, though, I'd stay on cloud nine. The same cloud I'd been living on since Blake had decided she absolutely wanted to be Mrs. Lancaster. Now I just lived in a constant state of happiness, like an eternal high. It was awesome. Blake Lancaster was the most amazing, beautiful, kind, perfect angel in existence. And getting to be with her was the best fucking thing in the world. 10 out of 10. Would recommend. My phone buzzed next to me on the locker room bench where I was relaxing as I got in the zone. "Hey there, golden boy," I drawled, pulling him up on FaceTime. "Just making sure you showed up to the game and didn't get stuck again," Lincoln snorted, raking his hands through his golden god hair. "That was one time. It happened last week, buddy. And you somehow thought it would be a good idea to call me instead of 911 after you got your pierced dick stuck inside your wife. What the hell was I going to do? You were literally inside her as you were talking to me. Psh, your calming presence helped me to relax enough to get it out. You were very helpful." Lincoln sighed, pretending to be annoyed with me. He was such a funny guy.
Anyways, my gigantic pierced cock that you're wildly jealous over is not stuck in Blake," I said, right as Walker sat down next to me.
The weirdo fell off the bench at my comment, even though it was perfectly normal. A known risk for baller penises everywhere.
"Did Disney just pass out?" Lincoln snorted, raising an eyebrow, and I shook my head as Walker dragged himself off the floor, glaring at me the whole time, and sat back on the bench.
"Yes," I sighed with mock exasperation. "Definitely not circle of trust behavior." Walker huffed next to me and I gave him a little wink.
"Okay, focus, Lancaster. I'm going to go out there and score 1 million goals so we win. And you're going to hit a bunch of people and make sure Disney gets proper protection. Deal?
Why does my job sound so much funner than yours?" I wondered aloud. Lincoln snorted again and then hesitated.
"Can you take me off FaceTime?" he asked.
I frowned and nodded, making it a regular call and holding the phone up to my ear. "What's up?"
"Gear's almost up."
There was a question in his voice, a question that was still an easy answer. Blake was completely on board, even if it meant we'd have to fly back and forth to L.A. for her job sometimes.
"Yeah?
What's your question?" I asked innocently, just because I wanted to hear him say it. Lincoln Daniels loved Ari Lancaster.
Are you still coming home?"
He sounded so un-Daniels-like. A name usually synonymous with cocky badass. It was hilarious. I never noticed my name was in that word. Fitting.
"Ari?"
"Sorry, what did you ask?"
"Fuck you,"
he growled, finally catching on to my little joke. I glanced at Walker, who was pretending not to be eavesdropping, even though tension was threaded through his whole body. Poor Disney. He didn't know yet that I was going to make sure he came with me. With how well he'd done, and with Bender announcing his retirement from the Dallas net, it should be an easy sell.
"Yes, Link. Your snookums are still planning on coming home."
There was a long silence, almost like my buddy was having trouble holding in his emotions.
"Snookums?"
he finally said, sounding infinitely happier than he had before my answer. "Not good? I'll keep workshopping." I was smiling weirdly into the phone, but it was warranted. Lincoln Daniels was going to be my best friend forever.
"Make him cry out there tonight, Lancaster. And tell Disney good luck,"
Lincoln added as I heard someone in the background calling his name.
"You just score those goals," I answered before hanging up.
"Lincoln, did he say hi?" Walker asked, all cute and simp-like. His usual M.O.
"He may have said good luck. Walker perked up. Wait, he said that? He said good luck. I said he may have said good luck. Ari, Walker whined, looking so pathetic I had to give him what he wanted. Fine, he did wish you good luck. Walker jumped up and did a shimmy. I scoffed indignantly. I tell you good luck all the fucking time, and I give you an ass tap. What else could you want? Walker froze mid-shake of his ass. Right, it's totally the same. You're placating me. I don't like placaters, Walker Davis. No ass tap for you tonight. He pretended to be chastened, even as his whole fucking body shook with laughter. I stared around the room. The rest of my teammates were all tense and gloomy, like they were already confident in a loss before the game even started, which was stupid. Yes, the team had issues, but we'd beaten Seattle this year. Twice. This wasn't going to do at all. I stood up off the bench. Disney, give me a tune, I ordered, and Walker wasted no time in grabbing his phone. A few seconds later, Shake It Off hit the locker room speakers. As usual, Tay-Tay's music was instant magic. Our teammates, even the most stoic ones, couldn't resist the infectious beat. Walker led the charge, attempting a moonwalk that resembled a drunken stumble. Eddie's moves were wild and unpredictable, like a toddler on too much sugar. He twirled, spun, and even attempted the worm. Actually, not that bad. I let myself go, bringing out my dad moves, even though the only people calling me daddy tonight were going to be the Seattle forwards. I really gave it my all, complete with finger guns and a sprinkler dance. The last notes faded and I grinned, because as usual, our shake it off had done its job. The team was much more relaxed. Coach's pregame speech was a fucking masterpiece. He got on our faces, reminding us of the blood, sweat, and tears we'd poured into this shit. You've trained your asses off, played your asses off, and sacrificed everything for this moment, he bellowed. A jersey ain't just cloth and colors, fellas. It's a fucking symbol of our legacy. When you step on that ice, you're not just playing for yourselves. You're playing for every Cobra who's ever bled for this team. For this city. The whole team roared, and with one last Cobra's cheer, it was game time. As I stepped onto the ice, it felt familiar. It was a surreal realization. I'd started the season feeling like an alien who'd landed on a foreign planet. I dreaded every practice, convinced myself everything sucked, that I couldn't wait to leave. I counted down the fucking days. But now, I realized I was going to miss this place. Somewhere along the way, it had started to feel, well, nice. I went to the glass to make googly eyes at Blake, pointing behind her. She shot me a quizzical look and turned around, only to see an employee holding a sign that said, Mrs. Lancaster is my baby angel face. Do not touch.
Nice.
She groaned, her face turning a beautiful tomato color. You look hot in that jersey, Mrs. Lancaster, I yelled as I skated away. The game kicked off, and Seattle wasn't taking any prisoners. They hit us hard and fast like a bunch of crazed bulls charging at a matador. Walker was a fucking rock star. He blocked shot after shot, making it look easy in the net. That's my goalie, I yelled as Walker made his 20th save of the period. And it wasn't that I was sucking. I was kicking ass. Seattle was just killing our forwards with Tommy playing injured. Seattle got called for high-sticking, and we found ourselves on a power play. Tommy somehow came up with a burst of speed despite his injured leg, skating like a man possessed. He maneuvered through their defense and fired the puck. It bounced off one of Seattle's own men and ricocheted into the net. We all went nuts. In the second period, Seattle tied us with some flashy moves and slick passes after Soto decided to drop his gloves and engage in a bare-knuckle brawl with a Seattle guy. We watched, bewildered, but I guess it was progress. He wasn't trying to beat up his own teammates for once. Still fucking hated him, though, and I still hoped he fell off a cliff or got hit by a car. But progress was progress. By the third period, victory was within our grasp. I blocked shots like a human wall, taking hits and deflecting pucks like the James Norris Memorial Trophy winner I was. And in the final minutes, with their goalie pulled, we knew we had it. I knocked the puck loose and sent it to Tommy, who made the easy goal. The final buzzer sounded and the whole team skated towards the bench to find out the Dallas score. Some of the staff had been tracking it while we played, and Dallas and Detroit were currently tied 1-1 with 3 minutes left. The arena was already in full celebration mode, obviously forgetting there was one important piece of the puzzle left. But we were glued to one of the assistant coach's iPhones. Every passing second was agony, our collective gaze locked on the screen as if we could will the result. And then it came. Lincoln had a breakaway shot and slipped the goal right in between the goalie's legs. Because Golden Boy was my fucking hero, he pointed to the nearest camera and blew a kiss. I snatched that shit up as the rest of the team started celebrating. We were playoff bound, baby. I turned to look for Blake and saw her running through the aisle of seats. I slipped past some of the guys and awkwardly ran up the steps, my blade smacking against the flooring.
You did it!
She screamed, jumping into my arms. I spun her around, burying my face in her neck, visualizing what it would have been like to have found her before last year's Stanley Cup win. Then it really would have been perfect. Next year, I vowed to myself. Next year, I'd make that happen. Right then, the bigger victory, the only victory that really mattered, was that Blake was in my arms. And it's where she would stay. Forever.
Blake. The night became a blur of laughter, music, and the clinking of glasses as we threw back shots. Cobra's ownership had thrown an epic party, turning one of the arena's specialty function rooms into a wild celebration that had spilled out into the hallways and everywhere else in the arena. Someone said that Walker was on the ice with some girl with nothing but a sock over his cock. It was that kind of night. I was definitely feeling it, my cheeks flushed and my laughter easy and carefree. Ari was equally intoxicated, and we were currently making a very unstealthy escape from the ruckus, so we could fuck. Holding hands, we navigated through the maze of tipsy players, staff, and fans, our laughter bubbling up as we tried to stay upright. The music from the party grew fainter with each step, and soon we found ourselves in a quieter hallway. Ari leaned against the wall, his trademark grin on full display. He'd lost his shirt somewhere along the way, and I took him in, admiring for a second the Blake tattoo etched across his sculpted chest. He looked so ridiculously hot. I could feel my body softening from just staring at him, my pussy getting wet and ready to be fucked. I wanted him any way I could have him.
Is my baby feeling needy?
He purred as he pushed me against the wall. I nodded as I slowly pulled up my jersey, but Ari grabbed my hand before I could get it off.
I want to take you just in this.
He whispered gruffly, and I nodded, shivering in anticipation. His hands reached under the hem of my jersey and pulled down my leggings, taking my thong with them. I held onto his shoulders as I stepped out of the clothes, the cool air making me well aware I was naked from the waist down. His gaze took me in and he pulled me towards him, grabbing my chin and angling my face as he pressed a hot, searing kiss on my lips. My fingers dragged down his chest and he bit down on my bottom lip as my nails sank into his skin. The hand that had been holding my jaw trailed down, holding onto my neck in a possessive, erotic grip while his other hand covered my breast through the jersey, gently squeezing and kneading at it. He leaned towards me, his hot tongue licking along the shell of my ear.
All mine.
He growled as his lips moved down my skin, stopping on my pulse point where he gently licked and sucked at my flesh. Ari, I whimpered.
Shh, sunshine. That's a good girl. I'm gonna take such good care of you.
I heard something then, as Ari's tongue continued to slide across my skin, a slow, exquisite torture I never wanted to end. Turning my head towards the direction of the sound, I froze because one of the last people on Earth I would have expected was standing at the end of the hall, staring at us. It was Clark. He'd still been texting me constantly, but I blocked his number, for real. I didn't want anything to do with the past. The therapist that I'd started going to had helped me work through the guilt I felt when it came to Clark. I didn't have to stay with someone out of guilt. I could understand that now thanks to weekly sessions. Clark may have been my past, but Ari was my past and my future. Clark's gaze glittered in the darkness, and maybe it was the alcohol, or maybe it was just that I was tired of reminders from a past I'd finally let go. But I didn't tell Ari he was there. I suddenly wanted to make a point, just like Ari would have wanted. That I didn't belong to my past or my guilt or anything else. I belonged to Ari, and I was all about that. I didn't say anything as Ari turned me around and bent me forward so my ass was presented to him. I didn't say anything as he lined our bodies up, slowly rolling his hard cock through my folds, getting the shaft nice and wet. His hand slid between my legs, massaging my clit with the perfect amount of pressure.
"Mine,"
he murmured as his other hand fucked into my core.
"This cunt, it's ruined me."
I grabbed his dick. "Mine," I said back, my tone confident and possessive. His gaze lit up with amusement. I glanced at Clark over Ari's shoulder so he would know that I meant it. His face was pale and shocked and devastated. I closed my eyes as Ari's fingers pressed and rubbed at that spot inside me, and I came on his talented hands, arching and moving against him like we were fucking already.
"Most fucking gorgeous girl ever,"
he groaned. I glanced down the hall and Clark was still standing there for some reason. Obviously, he hadn't gotten the memo yet. Ari turned me around, his hand gripping my ass as he once again slid his pierced dick through my sopping wet folds. The friction sent another tiny orgasm fluttering through my insides. I was much louder than I would usually be because I wanted Clark to know that Ari made me feel things that he never could. In the back of my mind, I was well aware that I'd lost it, that what I was doing was unnecessary. Cruel, actually. But I wanted to give Ari what he'd always gave me, complete and unrelenting devotion. I felt like this was my chance to prove I was all in, even if Ari was unaware of what I was doing. His mouth claimed mine in a deep, hungry kiss, and I eagerly sucked on his tongue, whimpering with the need I had for his dick to be inside of me. "Ari, please," I begged, loving the hot smile he gave me because he fucking loved when I begged for him.
"I've got you, baby,"
he promised. My eyes were heavy-lidded as they ran over his flawless, muscled chest. Everything about him was designed to be my personal wet dream. I wanted to get on my knees to worship him. I glanced at Clark, frozen in place. I'd never had that desire with him. Ari sucked on my neck, hard enough that he for sure was leaving a love spot. I loved when he marked me. I actually loved when he covered me with his cum, too. Every day stoked the fires of both our obsessions. And it wasn't because I was drunk. Sober me felt like this as well. Like I couldn't get enough, like I never would. He rubbed his glistening head through my folds once more, and then he plunged into me, sucking my tongue greedily and capturing the relieved whimpers that were streaming out of my mouth.
"Yes, so fucking good,"
he groaned as he slammed in and out of me. That ring, that fucking wedding ring embedded into the head of his dick, hit the entrance to my womb every time, sending small spikes of pain and pleasure shooting through me. Ari expertly angled his hips, hitting different places and making me scream.
"So perfect. I'll never get enough of this cunt, Blake. Mine."
An orgasm was building inside of me, again. And I bit down into his chest, trying to stave it off because it felt so intense.
"Do it for me, sunshine. Choke my cock with your sweet pussy."
His dirty words sent me over the edge and I was coming, setting him off too. His thrust became erratic and he groaned loudly as his warm seed spilled into me.
"Fuck,"
he said, burying his face in my neck like he always did. We stayed there, connected like that for a long minute, before I remembered that we had a visitor. When I peered down the hall, though, Clark was gone. Sick satisfaction slid through my veins like a sinuous poison. It felt so good to have Ari claim me like that. I had a feeling Clark wouldn't be back, that the message had successfully been sent. Ari Lancaster had ruined me. There was no room for anyone else. I didn't want anyone else. Ari pulled out and we both groaned, his fingers immediately going between my thighs, pushing the cum back in that had spilled out. He did that almost every time we had sex, like he couldn't bear for any of him to come out of me.
"I didn't know you were so into exhibitionism, sunshine,"
he murmured, and I froze, even as his fingers sank into me. I stared up at him, afraid I'd see anger or maybe even disgust, but all I saw was hot male satisfaction.
"I think you made the point quite nicely, Blake. And anytime you want to fuck me to prove a point, I'm your man,"
he whispered. I blushed and he growled as he bit down on my neck before licking away the pain.
Just as long as I'm your man all the other times too.
Always, I murmured, and I'd never meant something more.
Chapter 28, Ari. We lost in the first round, and even though I'd expected it, it still hurt like hell. I'd stressed for days, waiting to hear if Dallas was interested in getting me back. And when the call came from my agent, assuring me that the Knights were ready to do whatever it took to bring both Walker and me on board, it felt like a million-pound bowling ball had been lifted off my chest. Now I just had to do the long wait until July to make it official when free agency kicked off. I felt guilty that the Cobras would be losing us both, an unfamiliar feeling to be sure. They had been good to me, and I knew they wanted me to sign a contract to stay on. They'd been hounding Remy's phone every day. My path was set, though, just like it had been all those years ago when I'd met Blake. Some things were just meant to be. And me playing with Link in Dallas was one of them. But there was a lot of time between now and July, and today I only had one thing on my mind. Proposing to Blake. Yes, she was already my wife. And no, that was never going to change. But I hadn't exactly proposed last time, so I'd planned something special tonight at the Griffith Observatory. I didn't know why I was so fucking nervous. There was only one answer she could give me tonight. I already had that girl locked down. But I wanted to do this for her, and I wanted it to be perfect.
Blake. Ari was always surprising me, so when he had mentioned he had something special planned for the night, I hadn't thought twice about it. Or at least he hadn't given me a chance to think twice about it. We'd been in bed all afternoon, and I'd had so many orgasms I was having trouble remembering my name. We drove through the winding roads, finally heading up a steep hill before I realized where we were going. The Griffith Observatory? I asked, sitting up in my seat to stare at the scene in front of us. It was one of those tourist things that I should have done already, but I hadn't ever set aside time. The observatory itself was a majestic sight, perched atop a hill, commanding a breathtaking view of the city below. We parked the car and made our way up the steps to the entrance. The architecture was awe-inspiring, a blend of Art Deco and modern design that was both elegant and timeless. Inside, we explored the fascinating exhibits, all about astronomy and the universe. You know a lot more about astronomy than I would expect. I mused as Ari pointed out pictures of various constellations and celestial objects as we strolled through the halls.
For some reason, I caught the stargazing bug when I was young, and it never quite went away.
He said with a wink. I raised an eyebrow, but then a shot of a black hole caught my eye, and I forgot what he said. But the real surprise awaited us outside. As we reached the observatory's rooftop, the night sky stretched out above us, its velvet glory sprinkled with a million twinkling stars. Ari had arranged for someone to set up a cozy little spot with blankets and cushions, complete with a high-quality telescope pointed at the heavens. I turned to him with a curious smile, my heart skipping a beat. Are we going stargazing? Ari's eyes sparkled in the moonlight as he nodded.
We are.
He said quietly. As I settled down on the cushions, Ari adjusted the telescope and I took everything in. The soft glow of city lights below us, the serenity of the night, and the promise of countless stars above painted a picture of sheer perfection. He laid down beside me and we stared into the night sky, our fingers entangled together.
I loved you from the moment I saw you.
He murmured suddenly and my breath skipped as I turned my head away from the sparkling heavens and toward his face, where the view was even better. Really? He turned to gaze at me too, his hand coming up to stroke my cheek.
12 years old and I was done. Finished. I'd found what I wanted forever. It would seem silly if someone else told me that, but it happened to me.
I grabbed his hand to still it and rubbed my cheek against his rough palm. I'd always associated that group home with the start of everything bad that had happened to me. But I'd recently realized, through therapy, how much good there had been too. I'd lost Ari there, but I'd also found him, too. And that was how I was going to start thinking about that. I haven't gone stargazing since I left the group home. I murmured, frowning. I think it hurt too much because I associated it with you.
I was a cheesy fucker back then, wasn't I?
He grinned, and I snorted, bringing his hand from my face to my chest so I could snuggle against it. "You're still a cheesy fucker, but I love it," I said, leaning forward to give him a kiss. "Ari, do you think I'm going to be sad forever?" Words from the past hit me hard.
"Blake, are you all right?"
Ari asked, and I realized I'd been hovering above his lips, not saying anything. "I'm not sad anymore," I whispered.
"What?"
"I'm not sad anymore. We were stargazing as little kids, and I asked you if you thought it would last forever. And all this time, it has. But it's gone now." Tears slipped down my cheeks. "You did it." He studied me, so much love in his gaze that it was hard to breathe.
"I don't think I can take all the credit, sunshine,"
he said gently. And it was crazy that that was true. Since that day where I'd started to take control of my life, I hadn't cut and I hadn't purged. I hadn't even weighed myself. I told myself I was perfect every single day in the mirror, whether Ari was inside me or not. I'd gone to therapy every week faithfully, even when it sucked or it hurt. I had shown up for myself every day. And of course, Ari had showed up for me too. He was beaming as we stared at each other. There was no one more proud of me than him. But it was even better that I was finally proud of myself too. He pushed up from the cushions, his face paling a bit as he stared down at me.
"Just to let you know, we're already married, and we're staying that way."
I gazed up at him, confused, before I sat up too, kneeling with him. "What? What's wrong?" He pulled a violet-colored brocade box out of his pocket and opened it, revealing a diamond-encrusted wedding band, one that would fit perfectly with the huge rock that hadn't left my finger since we'd reunited. "Oh, Ari."
"Blake, as you are well aware, you're already my wife. But I've had a speech planned since the moment I saw you on that billboard. How I was going to ask you to marry me, and I didn't get a chance to say it."
He grinned because he knew as well as I did. That was the understatement of the century for what had happened that night. Ari went on unrepentantly, and I shook my head in amusement.
"So we're doing a redo tonight, if that's all right."
I nodded, already emotional, because I loved him so freaking much.
"Sunshine, I fucking love you. I'm obsessed with you. You're all I see. You're my past, my future. You're everything. I saw you at 12 years old, Blake, and my soul recognized you, realized you belonged to me. In every circumstance, in every life, I would have found you. I know that. With every fiber in my being."
"Ari," I whispered, the world blurring from my tears. It was just so nice that they were actually happy ones for once.
"I made you a promise once that I would spend the rest of my life making you happy. And even though you're doing a damn fine job of doing that yourself, it will still be my honor to ensure all your dreams come true. So, Mrs. Lancaster."
I giggled because it was a little odd to have a marriage proposal when you already had the groom and his last name.
"And please remember, you only have one real option for your response."
He reminded me as he pulled the band from the box and reached for my finger.
"Will you do me the honor of letting me make you happy for the rest of our lives?"
He slipped the band on my finger so it fit against my other ring. "Yes! 1,000,000,000 times yes!" I cried as I fell into his arms. He made love to me after that, beneath a sky laced with glittering, hopeful stars, courtesy of paid-off staff that knew the area was off-limits while we had the place. And I knew I was the luckiest girl in the world. 9 months ago, I'd been in the wrong life with the wrong guy, and I hadn't realized any of it. Ari Lancaster was proof that miracles and soulmates existed. And I said a thank you to the heavens every night that he'd seen that billboard that day and moved heaven and earth to find me. Every tear, every cut, every ache, it had somehow brought us here. And as the great Taylor Swift said, all's well that ends well to end up with the pucking right guy.
Epilogue. Ari. A night out with the boys in D-Town, only beat by a night out with my girl.
Walker had said he had something really important to say to the Circle of Trust. So, here we were, Lincoln and I checking our phones every few minutes to make sure our ladies were still together at my house. "I have some exciting news," Walker said as soon as we'd ordered our wings. "Give it to us, Disney," I drawled as I stuffed some chips and queso in my mouth. This place was the bomb. Lincoln went for a chip and I stabbed him with a fork. "I ordered all of this for myself. I've got months to make up for."
"Why don't you tell me that?"
he snarled, going to dip his chip again in my nectar of the gods. "I will stab you again, and then you won't be able to hold your stick. Of any kind."
"Monroe will hold my stick," Lincoln said cockily, and I pretended to throw up.
"I'm going to be a daddy," Walker suddenly announced proudly. I choked on my chip, hacking and coughing while Lincoln stared at the two of us like we were embarrassing him.
"Sorry, what was that? Are we talking about sex kinks right now? Because I need to prepare myself before I think about some puck bunny calling you daddy."
Lincoln scooped up some queso while I was trying to breathe.
"No, I mean a real dad," Walker grinned, neither of them seeming to care at all that I'd almost choked to death.
"Okay, Walker. And are you adopting? Because I haven't seen any ladies around, and I know you were taught better than to not double wrap when it comes to those stage 5 clingers."
"It's a new thing, but you'll meet her soon," Walker said happily.
"So you got a one-night stand pregnant?" I asked, still very confused.
"Nah, she's the love of my life."
Lincoln and I glanced at each other, twin grins on our faces, because we were big fans of true love nowadays.
"What's her name? Is she excited about the baby?"
Lincoln asked as he reached for one of my chips. I smacked his hand away. I did not share queso and chips, not even with my bestie.
I forgot all about my monopoly of the chip tray, though, with Walker's next words.
"She will be excited,"
he mused as he snagged one of my chips and started happily munching on it. His chewing took fucking forever as Lincoln and I just stared at him incredulously. Finally, he was done. He grinned at us both and said, "When she finds out..."
This is the end of The Pucking Wrong Guy, a Podium Audio and Dark Star production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more sporting romance, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to The Pucking Wrong Guy, Book 2 of the Pucking Wrong series, produced by Mitch Raines, written by C.R. Jane, performed by Troy Duran and Alexis Page. Text copyright 2023 by C.R. Jane. Production copyright 2024 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.